Okay, we are in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 26, starting from verse 1.
In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them. Diminish not a word.
This message is given in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim. And we learned last week, Jeremiah said, I gave the word of God almost 23 years continuously, and you didn't hear it. Now here he's saying it's in the beginning. Now these chapters are not like a chronologically, just like when you're telling the story, and you tell the story, and then if you remember something, and then you go back and tell, that's the way it's happening. So here the word of God is saying to Jeremiah, go and stand in the court house, the house of the Lord. And when you stand there, all the people are in different cities. They are coming to worship. So instead of going to city to city, stand there and let the people come and speak to them. And when you speak it, whatever the message I gave it to you, give the complete message. Do not spare anything. Do not hide anything. Do not skip anything. Tell the truth. The word of God is very pure and truth, but many people do not preach the truth. They hide the truth. Sometimes somebody will get hurt. Somebody will feel bad. And that's why people do not tell the truth. But here the word of God says, do not be afraid of people. Sometimes truth hurts. When you start telling the truth, people don't like the truth. So Jeremiah was telling the truth, and he says, one thing you do when you're preaching, do not hide anything, do not skip anything, preach the truth. And Jeremiah is doing that. Verse 3.
If so be they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken to me, to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened. Then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth.
Go and tell my people, and if they listen to your voice, they listen to the word of God, and they repent, and they turn to God, I have decided to destroy this city and destroy the people. But if they listen to me and they repent, I will not destroy. Here is the choice. God says, you know, destruction is coming. So be prepared and repent and be blessed. And if you don't, he gives a very strong message. He's saying this house, the house of God, you see, that house of God will be just like a Shiloh. We studied the Old Testament. We studied at the time of Samuel and time of Eli. His sons were not doing good and they were doing all evil things. God allowed Philistines to come and take the Ark of the Covenant from the Shiloh, and how Israeli people had problems. So he said that's the kind of thing is going to happen. Now just think. This temple is built by Solomon. Beautiful temple, and it's a very expensive building. And people coming from all over the world to see, that's like a wonders of the world. And Jeremiah is telling them, this temple will be just like a Shiloh. Shiloh, there was no temple. There was like a tent, like a tabernacle. And the Ark of the Covenant was kept there. So he said, the time is coming. This temple will be completely demolished and there won't be no worship service going on, and these days are coming. Not only that, the city and the people who are living in king's palaces, all the palaces and all the city will be ruined, and it will look like a unbuilt city or just like a jungle. No people living, and people will be gone. And this kind of message, when the people are listening, they could not believe what the man of God is saying. How can this temple will be destroyed? How can all the palaces will be gone? God is not going to ruin his reputation. God is not going to allow anybody to destroy this beautiful temple. That's what people think. But God doesn't live in a handmade temple. God wants people's heart. God wants people to be ready. If the people are not listening, he doesn't care how the building is expensive and how much time and how much money you spend. God will destroy everything. That's what God is saying. Let's read verse 7.
So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, Thou shalt surely die.
Now can you imagine? He gave the message. Many people heard the message. But the people who are servants of God, who are the priests and prophet, those people got offended. Because when you preach the truth, and the other denominations and other people don't preach the truth, they will be your enemy. And this is what's happening in America and around the world. If you preach the truth, even the other denomination people will not like it. This happened in my life when I was in India, and there were so many different churches, like a Methodist and Presbyterian, Salvation Army and Catholic, and different denominations. And when I'm preaching, the Christian people wanted to kill me. And I was surprised. Heathen were against us, but the Christians are against, because they do not want you preaching the truth and many other people from their churches coming out and fellowshipping with you because you're preaching the truth. And that's what's happening here. Priests and the prophets didn't like it, because this priest and this prophet, they were preaching the thing which is soothsaying. They were saying, this temple will not be destroyed. This land will not be destroyed. No enemy can come and take our land, because our God is with us. There won't be any war. There won't be any famine. There won't be any sickness and disease. And we will be living in peacefully. That's the kind of preaching they were preaching, and the prophets and priests and people liked their preaching. And all of a sudden, here comes the Jeremiah and gives the opposite message. And they didn't like it, and they wanted to kill Jeremiah. Not the king, not the princes, but priest and prophet. They said this man should be killed. Verse 9.
Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, This house shall be like Shiloh, and the city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the princes of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house unto the house of the Lord, and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, This man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city, all the words that ye have heard.
Now, here what happens. Here comes the princes, means other higher authorities, and they came and they heard the word. And these priests and the prophets complaining to the princes and the elders, they're saying, see what the Jeremiah is saying? Jeremiah is saying something in the house of God, and house of God will be destroyed, and our cities will be destroyed. Did you hear this? This man should die. And so they are telling the other higher authorities and elders, we should be killing this man. But see, the priests and the prophets, they were supposed to do the will of God, and they are not doing the will of God. And now they are telling others who is doing the will of God, let's kill him. And God inspired those people. They said, we heard it. And this is the word of God. We don't think this man is worthy to die. And so there was a split. Prophets and priests and other people said, let's kill him. And but the princes and the elders, they said, no, this man is telling the truth and he should not die. So there are two different divisions. Just like one day I went to one town, and there was another village. And people told me, this village is very cruel village. They carry the sword. They don't want any missionary coming. And they don't want preachers going there. And hundreds of years, nobody can go there. And I was thinking, one man told me, could you come to my town, my village? And I said, I promise. And why that man invited me, because while we're going, it's a long story, he saw the miracle. And he said, are you the man of God? Are you the priest? Are you the prophet? I said, I'm a servant of God. He said, why don't you come to my town or my village? I said, okay, give me the address. He gave it to me, and I said, okay, I'll be there. And I told this story to the man who was a Christian and living in the farm, and I was his guest. So I said, could you take me there? He says, Pastor Peter, you are asking a trouble. Those people will kill you. I said, I promised them I have to go there. They took a tractor because there was no cars. So they took a tractor, and I sat there, and they took me there maybe evening 6 o'clock or so. And they left, the tractor people. And I went there looking for the man, and I could not find the man. So I went to the temple, and there were priests, couple of priests. And I said, can you call some people to do some music and songs and this and that? I said, somebody invited me to come and preach here. And they said, what kind of preaching you're going to do? I said, I'm a servant of God. And so you just call people and gather. So they gather all the people and the musician and everybody. And I stood there, all the idols behind me, and I preached there until midnight, 11:30. 6 o'clock to 11:30. And then I gave the altar call, and many people got healed. And so now there was a division. Half of the people were healed, and half of the people start saying, we should kill this man. So I did the just like a Jeremiah. I said, you are going to kill an innocent man, and my blood will be shed here. But you know neighboring village, they know I am here. If I don't go, they are going to call the police, and your village name will be spoiled. So do you know what you should be doing? Then they said, what should we do? I said, you should be taking me back to another village, and God will bless you. And the people said, okay, we'll take you there. Almost 12 husky men took the 12 big rod, put some cloth, dip it in the oil, and made some kind of light torches, 12 torches, and they took me there. While the people saw midnight these 12 torches coming, they thought Pastor Peter might be dead. Why these people are coming? But when I went there, they saw me, and I told these people, go home safe. The point I'm making, sometime God protects you, and there may be divisions. Some good people are there to protect you. Some bad people are there to kill you. But if God is in your side, nobody is able to kill you. Okay, let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 13.
Therefore now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you.
Now he said, listen, if you do right thing, if you repent, God will forgive you. If not, do whatever you want to do. I'm not going to run away. God sent me here. I give the God's message. And if that message is hurting you and you want to kill me, Here I am. Go ahead and kill me. Let's read the verse 15.
But know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. Then said the princes and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets, This man is not worthy to die, for he hath spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God.
So these people were convinced, this man is ready to die. He did not do anything crime. He gave the word of God. So we should not be kill him, because he is the prophet of God and gave the real truth. So we should not be killing him. Verse 17.
Then rose up certain of the elders of the land and spake to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah the Morathite prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spake to all the people of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of a forest. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him at all to death? Did he not fear the Lord, and besought the Lord? And the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them. Thus might we procure great evil against our souls.
Now here, some elders are giving an example. He said, listen, there was a man called Micah. He prophesied, and the king Hezekiah was there. At that time, he said, listen, God is going to destroy this Zion, means the temple, and Jerusalem. And he will be like a completely plain ground and heap up all the people are dying and everything. And he did a very horrible prophecy. But King Hezekiah did not kill him, but he repented and God blessed him and gave him extra years. And so they are saying, why should we do? King Hezekiah didn't do it. They repented. We should repent. Verse 20.
And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah the son of Shemaiah of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim the king with all his mighty men and all the princes heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt.
Now here is another man. He's a prophet and he's prophesying. And the people say, hey, this man is prophesying just like Jeremiah. And the king heard it. King didn't like him. So king said, we'll kill him. And so he heard this, that king is going to kill him. He runs to Egypt. Now in the spiritual meaning of Egypt is sin. Sin country or sin city. Coming out of Egypt means coming out of sinful country. Now here this man of God, he had the same kind of situation just like a Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, listen, here I am. I'm preaching the truth. I'm preaching the word of God. I'm ready to die. You want to kill me? And innocent blood will be shed and God will judge you. The same thing this prophet could say. He had the same message, but something happened. This man got scared. When he gets scared, and he runs away. The word of God says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us power, love, and sound mind. When you are a man of God, when you're preaching the truth, you should know God is going to protect me. The God who protects Jeremiah, the same God can protect me. But sometimes we lose faith. God protects Jeremiah because Jeremiah has some friends, and some influenced people, and they are protecting him, but I have nobody, and they might kill me, so I'm going to run away. If Bible says, if God is for you, who can be against you? If you are in the Lord, and if you are protected by God, no one has power to kill you. Jesus Christ says, even though they kill you, they can kill your body, but they cannot kill your soul. Our God has a power to destroy. But Jeremiah got the message. He said, listen, I'm going to die. If you want to kill me, I'm ready. But this man runs to Egypt. He starts thinking, If I go to Egypt, they're not going to find me. And they're not going to kill me. But because he went there and they knew the Egyptian was not their friends, so he said, let's go and find him. And they got him from Egypt. Let's read the verse 22.
And Jehoiakim the king sent men into Egypt, namely Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and certain men with him into Egypt. And they fetched forth Urijah out of Egypt, and brought him unto Jehoiakim the king, who slew him with the sword, and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam the son of Shaphan was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death.
See, now here the word of God is saying, one man, Jeremiah, was protected. He didn't die. They didn't kill him. You remember earlier chapter we read, God said to Jeremiah, I'm going to protect you. You just keep on preaching the word, and I will not allow people to kill you or destroy you. One time they put him in a stock, and Jeremiah got so mad, and he starts saying, I'm not going to preach. I don't want to preach, but God's word is burning like a fire in my bone. That's what I'm doing it, but I don't want to do the God's work because people are killing me. God says, listen, Jeremiah, I'm going to protect you. Don't be afraid. And he encouraged Jeremiah. But here we see another prophet got killed, not only killed, and he was completely thrown out of the city and not having good burial. There were so many other prophets. Nobody helped him. Nobody did anything because the king's command, and king said, do this, and so you should not be doing anything. And that man got the horrible burial. But I believe even that this thing happened to him and he preached the truth and he died, God will not put him to hell because he was preaching the truth. Sometimes some people die and some people don't die. Some preachers I'm talking about, some Christians and some people. And so you die or you live for Christ. So Jesus Christ says, if you die in Christ, you'll be resurrected. And if you are alive, Jesus Christ comes, you will be transformed. So either way, you die for Christ or live for Christ. When Jesus Christ comes, and we'll be going to heaven. One thing we have to remember, we should not be afraid of people. We should only be afraid of God. Okay, now that ends the chapter 26. We are going to start the chapter 27.
In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord to me, make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck, and send them to the king of Edom, and to the king of Moab, and to the king of the Ammonites, and to the king of Tyrus, and to the king of Sidon, by the hand of the messengers which come to Jerusalem unto Zedekiah, king of Judah. And command them to say unto their masters, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Thus shall ye say unto your masters, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me.
Okay, now here the word of God is saying to Jeremiah. You remember last time he told him to get some kind of belt and tight around his waist and then put it in the riverside and dig a hole and put it there and later on you go and get it. Now this is another example. He says, you know what? Make a yoke. And make a yoke and put it on you, and some of the yoke set it in another different countries. And tell them that this is the way you are going to be yoked upon. That means Nebuchadnezzar is going to be your king and you will be his slaves. And so he says, God has already told you that you're going to go under the bondage of this king Nebuchadnezzar. And he told not only you, but different countries, go and tell and send some kind of samples of this yoke that you're going to be under the king Nebuchadnezzar. He says, God has created all the universe, mankind, the animals, and everything. And God is in charge of every whole world. And when God is in charge, he can give one kingdom to anybody, or all the animals and everything to somebody. So God has decided to give all this Israelis' wealth and the people and the kingdom, including all the animals, to the Babylonian king. And so he says God is in charge, and he decided to give it to them. Okay, verse 6.
And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him, and his son, and his son's son, until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him.
Now here he's saying, what's going to happen? Not only Israeli kingdom is going under the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, but all surrounding kingdoms, everybody will be under this king. God says, I made Nebuchadnezzar my servant. So he's going to obey me. And if you don't obey him, then I'm going to punish you, because I have given all the kingdoms of the earth to the king Nebuchadnezzar. Can you imagine? If God wants to do something, nobody can say, why are you doing this? When he wanted to take revenge on his own people, he says to King Nebuchadnezzar, go and take my people. Take all the loots, everything what we have in our country. Go and take it and put it in a safe. And when the time comes, I will bring it back. He says, maybe your son and your son's sons may be doing the kingdom, but someday will come and I will bring my people back. When he says Nebuchadnezzar's sons, when we're studying the book of Daniel, Belshazzar, some people think is the Nebuchadnezzar's son, and it sounds like that, but Belshazzar is the Nebuchadnezzar grandson. And that's the time God tried to bring the children of Israel out of his hand, because he defiled the holy vessels. Okay, let's read the verse 8.
And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon.
If the people who do not listen to me, all listen to the king Nebuchadnezzar, and they rebel against them, rebel against the king of Babylon, what I'm going to do? I'm going to send the sword, send the famine, and send the disease. And so he said, better if you want to be safe, go to Babylon, I'll protect you. Last week also we learned, you go to Babylon, I'll protect you. But if you go against the Babylonian king, you will be destroyed. But he says, there are people in your country, he's talking to Israeli people, they are prophets, they are priests, but they are not speaking the truth, they are soothsaying, they are doing divinations, they are doing demonic things, and trying to do everything with the demon influence, but actually I did not call them, I am not working with them, I don't even recognize them, and so if you start listening to them, you will have destruction. Verse 10.
For they prophesy a lie unto you to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and ye should perish. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. I spake also to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, and serve him and his people, and live.
Now here again, word of God is saying, don't listen to this soothsayer. Don't listen to this false prophet. If you start listening, they are not my prophet. They are lying. They are telling you not to go to Babylon. They are saying Babylonian king will not come and destroy you. But you don't listen to them. I am telling you, and he is saying, I am telling the king Zedekiah, the king of Judah, you better listen to me. Go to the Babylon and I will protect you. I will not allow you to kill you or destroy you, because I am going to protect you. And this is the will of God, that all the children of Israel go into Babylon. If they don't, they will be scattered all around the world, and wherever they go, they will be destroyed. Okay, verse 13.
Why will ye die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord hath spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. For I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, and that ye might perish, ye and the prophets that prophesy unto you. Also I spake to the priests and to all this people, saying, thus saith the Lord, hearken not to the words of your prophets that prophesy unto you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought again from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. Hearken not unto them, serve the king of Babylon and live. Wherefore should this city be laid waste?
Now here again he's saying, what these people are telling this false prophet, don't worry, Babylonian king will not take the temple's vessels. He'll not destroy anything. Everything will be here. And don't listen to Jeremiah. But he's saying, God is saying, these people are false prophet. These people are telling wrong. You better listen to me. And don't fight with the Babylonian kings. Go there and you will be safe. I will protect you and you will live. You don't die there, because this is the plan of God. So God is saying not to listen to this false prophet, because they are lying. The true prophet is the Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is telling the truth. And sometimes now they are saying, how can God will allow this holy vessel to be taken to the foreign land? But God has a plan. Verse 18.
But if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord, and in the house of the king of Judah, and at Jerusalem, go not to Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars, and concerning the sea, and concerning the bases, and concerning the residue of the vessels that remain in the city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took not when he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Yea, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord, and in the house of the king of Judah and of Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon, and there shall they be until the day that I visit them, saith the Lord. Then will I bring them up and restore them to this place.
God is saying, don't you worry. God knows what is the holy vessels. God gave the wisdom to Solomon, make this all these vessels. Those vessels are not ordinary like a mud or clay. They were all silver and gold. And they were very precious in the sight of God. So God says, I'm going to tell the king of Babylon, take these vessels, because other false prophets, they are saying, it cannot be taken. It's a holy vessel. God will not allow. But God says, I will allow. And they will take it. And then King Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar took all these precious vessels and took it to the Babylon and put it in a safe place and did not allow anyone to touch those vessels of God, because God told Nebuchadnezzar, keep it safe. And don't use these vessels. They are holy. The time will come. And when I'll take my people back to my country, then all these vessels will be taken. Babylonian king, we do not know what God's plan was. But he was listening to God and he did not go against God. And we saw all the people were captured to Babylon, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, and there were so many other people. God did not allow those people to suffer. As he said, go there and leave. I'll protect you there. And they were prosperous. They were safe until God saw some sin in Babylon. As I said, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, Belshazzar, one day he got a party and he says, let's bring the vessels from the temple and we are going to drink from those vessels. And then they bought these vessels and they were worshipping all these idols and they used those vessels. And as you know, there was a handwriting on the wall and he could not read it. Nobody can read it. And they were scared. And do you know, your grandfather had one man called Daniel and he knew all the interpretation. Call him. Daniel comes and reads and he says, your kingdom is going to be destroyed. And same night, his kingdom was destroyed. So the point I'm making, God protect his vessels, even though the enemy wanted to use it. The enemy was destroyed the same night when he touched the holy vessels. So God knows how to protect his vessels. God knows how to protect his people. And God knows how to punish his people also. Our God is in control. Nobody can say to God, why are you doing this? Sometimes people say, God, you don't know what you're doing. You're destroying the temple. You're destroying the king. You're destroying all these things. And you are the one called the Israeli people, your people. What are you doing? Are you out of your mind? He says, don't you know? I am the one created heavens and earth. I am the one created mankind. I am the one created the animals and everything. And so I am the one has authority to give it to anybody. So he can make one person king overnight. And he can drop somebody from his kingdom overnight. God is the one who is in charge. So we cannot just sit there and blame God. God says, I have given the message. Only thing what you do, you correct yourself. You repent of your sins. And then I will repent. I'm not going to destroy you. God will change his mind and his heart if we change our mind and our heart try to do the right thing. So we cannot blame God, but we have to say, Lord, you have given us time, and I'm going to give my heart to you. There are so many times people come to you and tell you the message of God, but you ignore it. You say, no, I don't have time. Maybe when I'll get old, I will do it. Right now, I'm so young, and I don't have time to go to church. But the Word of God says, sudden destruction will come. That time, you would not have time to repent. Shall we rise and let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace. Please forgive all our sins and wash us with your precious blood. We give our heart to Jesus Christ and make us holy according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.